It's showtime, folks. I think that's what he says. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It's Chase and Big Joe. And no, the elephant in the room. Chase and Big Joe are not here today, but they are out for a very good cause. Chase and Joe, as we learned this morning, are out in Rayon City taking a crayon making class.
Really?
So good for them.
That's awesome.
That's okay.
Hello. Check one. Hello. Not on.
I think your mic's potted down, but
I think so.
There you go.
All right. Yes. Yeah, they are in Rayon City.
Yeah, they're in Rayon City taking a crayon making class today. So I'm glad they're making a difference in our community.
Tis the season.
Yeah. I hope they bring back some good crayons for us. Crayon and rayon, I guess, sort of rhyme. So
crayon, rayon, yeah.
Makes sense.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah. So if anyone was wondering where Chase and Joe are, they're... Chase is taking a break from his cloud storage thing in New York City, and I guess they just wanted an escape today, so they're out making crayons.
And also, there's not a lot of room on his wall anymore. And I think
going to his office.
Yeah. So, and then as for Joe, I mean, he's got plenty of those little collectives, so this is him decompressing as well.
Yeah. I hope it goes well for them. But as for us, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier in for you today. God bless us, Nick Frazier, because for me... The last time is now. Christmas break has hit. I got one more semester, and then I'm out of here. And then I'm here pretty much every day, I would assume so. So
welcome to the workforce.
We'll see. I need to start registering for my 401k, but that is what's next in line for me. We got a loaded show for you today. We're going to talk some Vanderbilt, going to talk some Titans. Chris Sanders will join us at 12:30, and our man, Trey Wallace, Outkick college football reporter, will join us at 1:30 today to discuss. Or I'm sorry, he'll join us at 1:15. Sorry,
One.
Oh, let's just keep going down.
Yeah.
He's going to join us right now, Trey Wallace. Yeah. He will join us at 1 to talk about all the latest headlines in college football. But as for us, I mean, we're kind of just having some fun today. We're going to come up with a question of the day. We realized that was sponsored and probably need to come up with that, which is sponsored by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. We'll come up with that eventually. But let's get into the Titans while we're at it and get this garbage out of the way so we can talk about real football. Cam Ward versus Shador Sanders on Sunday as the Titans take on the Cleveland Browns. Perhaps the battle of mediocrity, if we were to say so. Shador Sanders has not been, you know, a first-round quarterback. Obviously, he wasn't drafted in the first round. He thinks he was, but he was not. Cam Ward is coming off probably his worst Titans start ever in his rookie year. It's going to be a rock fight on Sunday between these two quarterbacks. It's going to be a battle of who can get more offense generated, and quite honestly, I don't think either can. Myles Garrett genuinely may have 10 sacks in this game. If you're looking for entertainment value in a football game, this is not the game to watch.
No, not at all. I mean, you make a great point with Myles Garrett. I'm genuinely concerned about this Titans offensive line going forward. I mean, if it's one thing, it's another. I mean, J.C. Latham is just – he's regressed so much that it's becoming a big concern going forward for the Titans. I wonder where the future holds for this offensive line. I mean, sure, you have to invest in a guy like Latham for right now, but at least show something – this Sunday that you'll be able to block a guy like Myles Garrett if he is lined up on that side of the ball for him.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun to watch. It's two bad offenses. One defense has one guy that's better than everyone else on every other defense combined, so it's going to be a complete rock fight. I'm not excited, A, to watch this game, B, to talk about it today, but it's... What I'm worried about is Shador Sanders is going to have a better game than Cam Ward statistically, and then we're going to field calls on Monday about, oh my God, the Titans should have taken Shador at pick number one overall. And it's the only people that would agree that is A, one guy, and B, people who don't watch the game. So let's already get that out of the way. Cam Ward has a much brighter future than Shador Sanders. He has a higher ceiling. He is a better overall prospect. And I'm kind of just echoing what Jake said, but it's true. Cam Ward has a higher ceiling and is more franchise quarterback prepared than Shedeur Sanders is. Overall, I think Cam Ward is going to have a lot better career than Shedeur Sanders, but it's one game. So, obviously, we go one game at a time. Some people will look at this and say, oh my God, Shedeur Sanders is a Hall of Famer. So, I'm not excited about that aspect.
Yeah, and I agree. Looking at the Shedeur Sanders-Cam Ward, you know, battle between friends in some ways, I guess friends that turn into foes for Sunday, that is. I don't know. You look at the future, you say Cam Ward has a higher future in comparison to Shedeur Sanders. I'd agree to that to a certain degree. I mean, looking at it from a draft standpoint, I think the Browns have done a really good job this past, you know, draft and getting those guys that need to help them going forward. And Quinshon Judkins is one of those players that you'll see a lot of on Sunday, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Especially in the Wildcat.
They've got two good running backs.
Yeah.
Dylan Sampson's
great.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you go wrong with that guy, right?
Well, he chose a bad color in college, but there you go.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
Indeed. I mean, he chose orange in college, and now he's chose a little bit of orange in NFL. I mean, he had no choice in that, but still ended up there. You look at this core of a rookie class for the Browns and how they're able to capitalize on that.
Nice.
And
my mic is hanging by a thread. That's great.
There you go.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, in general, Quinshon Judkins has really kind of helped out Shedeur Sanders in this, I guess, complex time as a quarterback for the Browns because the Browns tend to really have misguided direction. And when you have a consistent running back like that, some people look at it as a two-headed monster in the backfield. That's kind of what helps rookie quarterbacks in the long haul, especially when it's been a carousel of Dylan Gabriel, Joe Flacco at some point, Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had so much inconsistency. It's good to show a little bit of consistency on the back end with guys from this rookie class.
As bad as both offenses are, outside of the quarterback position, I think the Browns have everything the Titans don't have. They've got a good running game. They have not great wide receivers, but they have better wide receivers than what the Titans have. They've got a good tight end in David Njoku. They've got a decent offensive line. So as bad as both offenses are, I would take the Browns' offense over the Titans' offense outside of the quarterback position.
100%. I mean, don't forget about Harold Fannin, the tight end from Bowling Green.
Yeah.
That's another guy that they grabbed this past offseason in the draft, and he's turned out to be a really good rookie option for him. So it makes you wonder how the Browns are going to evolve this offense in later years, if they're going to, you know, take a shot on Njoku and bring him back and do all those things. But, you know, that's for another conversation at another time. But looking at these two teams going up against each other on Sunday, you definitely see a lot brighter things for the Browns going into Sunday. And you just hope the Titans can get a win for Cam Ward's sake when it comes to the conversations between Shedeur and Cam. To me, I brought this up with Jake on Tuesday. It's that one video that they were practicing in the bubble, and Shedeur goes, let's make a rap song. He goes, no, I'm here to play ball.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping.
And that's going to come up so much this weekend.
Exactly.
I promise. Like,
I hope
video.
Cam Ward knows that he needs to show up for Sunday for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be who can back up what they say. And I think if you look at Shedeur, he talks about how much he comes into games with chips on his shoulder, how he's lacking respect. And this is as good a game as any to prove that you deserve that first overall pick. If you're Shedeur Sanders, you're playing the first overall pick. So there's going to be a media overblow of him just because of who he is and what his last name is. Kind of like Arch Manning. If his name was Shedeur Smith, he wouldn't be getting the media recognition that he gets. But that and his just overwhelming toxic personality, in my opinion. But some people like Shedeur. I'm not one of them. I think you're going to have to be able to, I can't believe I'm saying this, contain Shedeur Sanders. Don't let him get any kind of positive yardage. And I realize we're talking about the Titans defense here, who is comprised of second and third stringers on good teams, but you're going to have to limit Shedeur. And as far as Cam Ward is concerned, you're going to have to step it up because Cam Ward went from basically two opposite ends of the spectrum the past 2 weeks. He played his best game in two-tone blue against Seattle. I don't think there's any question about that. He played his worst game in two-tone blue last week against Jacksonville. I don't think there's any question about that. So obviously, I don't think this is two quarterbacks that are going to light up the stat sheet. I don't think you're going to look at them and see, oh my God, Cam Ward has 350 for four touchdowns and 60 yards rushing. No, it's not. Especially with Myles Garrett on the opposite end, They're not going to be able to do that. But it's going to be about who can get the offense moving, who can make things happen. And right now, I hate to say it, but I think Shador has the edge on that.
Yeah, and he's even utilizing guys like Jerry Jeudy. I don't know if you've recognized in the past couple Sundays. The one game to me that stuck out watching Shador play was his start against the Raiders. And there were times where Jerry Judy's on the sideline and trying to figure out how can they get connected on a lot more passes. And something clicked because that was a really good game for Jeudy. He had, I think, like 3 or 4 catches. One went for like 20-plus, 30-plus yards. And obviously it got, you know, stripped out from behind him, and it was turnover. But still, those are the connections you need with a rookie to a veteran wide receiver aspect. And the Titans right now have that to a certain degree, but not to the degree everybody wants it to be.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. People are on the text line giving me 401k advice. So
there you go.
I appreciate that. Have you come up with a question of the day yet?
Yeah, I think this is pretty good.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, you know, Vanderbilt was in talks of getting a 13th game on their schedule this upcoming weekend. If that was the case, and I'll bring this up later on in the show because we'll talk about it, what is the one team that is on the bubble that may have a true case of making it into the playoff minus a Utah and a Notre Dame? Like,
okay, so basically
you're only leaves you like 2 or 3 teams, but still.
I thought you were going to say wrong answers only.
I mean, yeah.
Who should Vanderbilt play?
That's fine. I like that
the
one.
The answer is Hawaii. 6'5", 737-1025. Wrong answers only. If Vanderbilt plays a 13th game to get them into the college football playoff, who should they play? We'll get to that coming up next. Plus, talk a little bit more about the Titans matchup against the Browns. Chris Sanders will join us at 12:30, and Trey Wallace, OutKick College Football Reporter, will join us at 1. That's all coming up next. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier here with you on Chasing Big Joe on 102.5 The Game. I think we're forgetting the magnitude of what day of the week it is as far as our musical tastes are concerned. We'll get that fixed.
You got to give it time. Got to give it time.
No, we don't give it time. Are you kidding me?
Never know.
Never know. Chasing Big Joe, sponsored by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Brando back there working the runs and twos. Chasing Big Joe out in Rayon City taking a crayon-making class today. So that's why they are out. We asked you our question of the day. Wrong answers only. Who should Vanderbilt play in their 13th game to get eligible to play college football, playoff football? Answers are rolling in, which is surprising because Joe is not here. But that's okay. It means we're attracting the listeners. A couple of untalented losers like ourselves. Wes in Clarksville on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, 615-737-1025. Play the Titans. If they beat them, they get an automatic bid for Vandy.
Look, if it were me and I had to play the Titans and I'm Vanderbilt, I feel like I would drop 2 spots because I played the Titans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just they're that bad to the point where you mollywop them. Well, again, this is getting into a whole other conversation.
This is the take that only you have.
Let's not. I'm not going to open up that can of worms today. But yes, that is a great text from Weston Clarksville.
Justin Greenbrier, this Titans and Browns game is going to be as fun to watch as a Hallmark Christmas movie marathon. My mom would take massive offense to that comment. My vote for Vanderbilt is to play the Vols. Just repeat last game's week in Hawaii and let's embarrass them twice in a season.
Wouldn't be opposed.
I mean, you could neutral field. I don't know how it would go, but obviously you went to their place and mollywopped them, so could be worse on a neutral field.
And that is a good thought, though. If you go and play the same team twice and it's back-to-back weeks and you end up taking them to the cleaners, do you think that would help Vanderbilt's case get in the playoff, or is it just more of Tennessee's that bad of a team? How do you think the committee would see that?
A little bit of both, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't think Vandy would move at all. Let's put this in the real situation. If Vandy were to play Miami or Utah on a neutral field, which I think they said has to be outside of U.S. ground, so
Alaska, Hawaii,
or Puerto Rico, I still don't think it would do anything for them.
Really?
I don't think that beating a team on the bubble would get you out of the bubble because things in front of you have to happen, and we'll get into more of this later. But, you know, assuming all the favorites in the conference championship this weekend win, that still keeps you out. Let's say Georgia wins the SEC. That does not work in your favor. Texas Tech beats BYU. That does not work in your favor. Ohio State beats Indiana. I don't think anyone in the Big Ten is going to help you out. But
right.
Notre Dame obviously isn't playing, so they're probably in. You've got more SEC teams with at-large bids like Ole Miss, and probably the winner of or the loser of the SEC championship is in. Oklahoma is in. Oregon out of the Big Ten is in with these at-large bids. I'm not sure that winning a game against teams outside of the college football playoff picture can really help you get you in. But that's just me.
I'll save this for when we talk about this later. But there, to me, are two teams. One, I think we both can agree on, but there's an outlier that I think there's one that nobody would really think of.
Texter raises an interesting question. Vandy creates another question. Was there ever a college team that could hang with a terrible NFL team? My answer is no, because of the simple argument of, let's take 2019 LSU, for example. How many NFL players were on that team?
A good handful, right? 2019?
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, handful mm-hmm. of them.
How many NFL players are on an NFL team?
There's 22. Well,
22?
Well, I mean, like 11 on each side of the ball, but I get what you're saying.
53.
Like 53, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe we could make the argument on an extreme case that LSU team could compete with, like, the 2008 Detroit Lions, but
right.
I don't seem to fall into that argument.
Yeah, I made a strong case for it a month ago or so, maybe 3 weeks ago. And, look, this Vandy team, I think, at the time was hitting on all cylinders, clicking on all cylinders. The Titans team at the time was not looking great at all. Look, if Vanderbilt went up against Tennessee, I think that it'd be close, maybe the first quarter, second quarter. Can I say that at least?
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
I know there are people out there thinking this dude's got to be on something, right?
But I feel that if this were a game to happen, and I don't want to get into this debate again with you.
Neither do I. I'm good.
But the line would be like Titans favored by 28.5 or something like that.
Yeah, I think my best example would be the Tennessee Tech versus Kentucky. Like, think of it that way.
Yeah.
They were, undefeated at the time?
Yeah,
right?
Everyone was like, oh, my God, Tennessee Tech's going to upset. And then I told people all week, it's an FCS team competing with an SEC team. It's
right.
not going to be as pretty as it thing.
And it was what, like 50-something to?
It was 52-10.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, I was right.
There you go.
It's the small victories, Nick Frazier. It's the small victories. I don't know if I can read this, but I'm going to. Texter on the text line says, Hallmark movie is being nice. This game is going to be like a Live Leaks video with a warning on it.
There you go. Yeah, definitely.
I'm not going to get into detail what a Live Leaks video is, kids.
Okay.
The kids are in school anyway. They're not listening to this.
Gotcha. Well, you're right. Wait. Some of them are out. They got a little winter advisories out there.
That's true.
Yeah, I saw that on the news today as I was leaving the house. There were a few of them that were winter advisories 2 hours
late. It was sleeting earlier.
It was freezing rain yesterday.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
Be kidding me.
Yeah,
did not like that.
No, I don't like sleet either.
Yeah, I don't really like any of the snowy weather. To me, I mean, if I'm inside of a house, then sure. But no, if I got to drive in it, I'll pass.
Tim in Nashville, guys, your high school teacher has to be crying. Alaska, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico are all U.S. territories. That's not me saying that. That's what the NCAA said.
That's in the rule book.
That's what it said. I'm just restating what they said.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. But yes, I understand that Alaska and Hawaii are both states in the United States, and Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory. I think it means the mainland, because technically Alaska is bordered with Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaii is its own island, and so is Puerto Rico. So
there you go.
Let's see. 3-4-5-7. 19 LSU versus today's Titans. Money on the Tigers.
I mean, it's not a bad option. Look,
I mean,
if you go back and again, we're trying not to get into this conversation, but if you go back and look at some of those teams, like you mentioned, the 2019 LSU Tigers, you have two perennial wide receivers on that team, Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. And let's not forget, you got a running back in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but also a quarterback in Joe Burrow. We'll see.
B-Man says, have Vandy play Notre Dame and the winner is in. I think the committee would still find a way to put Notre Dame in. Well, they're not in the same circle. Which I don't understand the comparison between Notre Dame and Miami when they literally played in the first week of the season and Miami beat them. So I would say they are in the same circle.
Yeah, I would say they are. In, yeah, you're right, in the same circle. To me, I look at this opportunity, and again, we'll get into more of this later on down the show, but Vanderbilt and the situation they're in, it tells you something that this committee has to either use play-in games or expand the playoff, which obviously the expansion of playoff opportunities will probably happen. But I think you would grab more money from just doing play-in games, kind of like college basketball. I think if you did more play-in games, you would create more of a TV revenue rather than expanding the playoffs.
Don't give them ideas.
Well, I mean, look.
Don't give them ideas.
We're going to get to the point, Connor, to where that Army-Navy game is going to lose its historical gusto to it. When I'm talking about TV purposes. It's the only only college game on television on Saturday.
That's next week.
Exactly. This playoff format, if they do a play-in game, more than likely will ruin that.
Yeah, I would agree with you, because they would put them on that week. Hey, tune into Army-Navy, and then afterwards you can watch Illinois and Iowa play for a spot in the college football playoff.
Snooze.
Yawn. By the way, this is super off topic. Have you seen some of these new bowl game names?
No.
One of them is now called the Xbox Bowl.
Oh.
So, and it will be played between Butch Jones and Missouri State. Arkansas State versus Missouri State.
Wow.
We will be locked in to the Xbox Bowl.
I'm sure Butch Jones will be using brick by brick for that slogan, because that's what Xboxes are. They're bricks.
Champions of life. That's one of my favorite videos ever, is the video of, it's like an intro video for Butch Jones taking the job at Tennessee, and he's like coming through the smoke. Some people say that this job is not what it used to be. I say, bring it on. Like, it's like an action shot of his face. I'll show it to you in the break. It is fantastic. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to answer our question of the day. Wrong answers only. Who should Vanderbilt play in the 13th game to get into the college football playoff? We'll discuss more of that later on throughout the show. Coming up next, forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders will join the program to discuss the Titans and the Browns matchup this Sunday. We got all that coming up next. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday night football game. Monday night's matchup is the Eagles against the Chargers. Well, that should be a fun one. Definitely keep your eye out for that. Chris Sanders coming up next right here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
There you go. Much better.
Looking for a good spot to watch NFL games this Sunday? Come by Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 102.5 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Browns. Pregame show brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works and Circa Sportsbook, Kentucky. Welcome back in. Chasing Big Joe are out today. They're in Rayon City making crayons. So we wish them the best of luck. Connor, Nick Frazier with you today. We're awaiting the arrival of one Chris Sanders, but you know him. Casually late, fashionably late, but better late than never, I guess. So
yeah, he'll join us at some point.
Yeah, he will.
He's probably in the midst of, you know, doing his
daily routine. He's making crayons, too.
We just didn't get the memo.
Yeah. We're stuck here. We could be in Rayon City, home of the gods, making crayons.
I really was curious to ask Chris about just the Titans in general when it comes to just your outside pieces and Elik Iomanner and Chim Dike. I mean, him being a former wide receiver and those two guys that are starting to catch form, I wonder how much that, you know, I guess the game planning for those guys will open up the play for guys like Chigakonko and Gunnar Helm. What do you think?
You got to get Chim Dike involved early. I think we've learned that throughout the season, because that's when he's most effective. Elik Iomanner, he has had kind of a downward slide from the start of the season. At the beginning of the season, we thought Titans may have gotten a steal here. And maybe they still have. There's plenty of time for us to figure that out. But he just hasn't been as effective as he was at the start of the season, which has kind of led to the emergence of Chim Dike. And I'm okay with that. Look, I don't think Chim Dike is a number one receiver on any team. He's probably a two or three at best when he hits his ceiling. But as far as special teams are concerned, that's an all-pro level player. So getting him involved in the offense is beneficial. I think you're just kind of waiting it out until you can get someone in the draft, whether that be a Jordan Tyson or who is the kid from USC, Mekhi Lemon.
Yep.
Yeah, you're waiting it out to get a guy. And now, here he is. Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders joins the program now. Uncle Chris, what's up?
Champion, what is going on, man? How y'all doing today, man? I'm just sitting there at the hospital with my mom. Make sure she's doing all right.
Oh,
is everything okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, everything was good. Just her treatment that she had, she going through. So, yeah, I'm just chilling, man. And that's it. Just thank God for another day for my mom. That's it, brother.
Of course. Well, we're sending prayers your way that everything goes
thank
well.
You, thank you.
Let's talk a little football, shall we? It is the matchup everyone has been waiting to see. Cam Ward versus Shador Sanders.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you make of this battle of just two complete gods of the football field?
You know, yeah, I know. The thing about it is, I mean, you have two young guys, two young rookie guys. We're going to see who is the best, because you got to remember, at the beginning of the year or in the summertime, these guys were competing, you know, practicing against each other. You had Shador Sanders, they wanted to take pictures, but then you had Cam, they wanted to get some work done. So I think it's going to be, you know, just a test to see who's the best receiver in that draft. And I think that there's going to be some good competitive juices. Both teams are not doing well, but at the end of the day, these guys are competitors, and they definitely want to beat each other. Absolutely.
Yeah, Chris, I was just talking with Connor before we hopped on the line with you here about just guys like Alec Iomanner and Chim Dike. Just when it comes to defenses starting the game plan for the powerhouse, what they bring to the game, what does that do for guys like Chig Okonkwo and Gunnar Helm to open up the play for them?
Yeah, I mean, it just makes your offense better. I mean, whoever thought at the beginning of the season that DK and Ellick and these guys will be a prominent, you know, in this offense. You had Ridley that was supposed to be the guy to take the top off the defense, but now you got DK that can run those crossing routes and take the top off the defense. And you got Ellick, who has a big body that can make those plays. So, you know, it just opens it up for everybody. So now when those guys get double coverage, then you have Chig, you have Gunnar Helm, that can definitely make some plays, you know, out there. So it's interesting. I know everybody's kind of like, you know, these are our guys, but those young guys are getting experience, and those guys can play.
And then for a guy like Chig Okonkwo, kind of umbrella himming into that question last, well, how much do you have to see out of him the last, four or five games of the season? Because it's a deciding factor for guys like Mike Borgonzi and company.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is, it's Chig has to not play in spurts. He plays in spurts to where one game he has good, and then the next game, you know, he disappears. I don't know if that's the play they call. I don't know if they want to keep two tight ends to block, but he's got to show up on film to be like, okay, I need to see more. I know he makes plays, you know, sometimes, but I need to see him make plays all the time, because when you have that type of skill set coming out of Maryland, you want to be a guy that always shows up on film and then put danger actually in opposing defenses. And I just think he just plays in spurts. We need to be consistent and play football.
Chris, the past 2 weeks we've kind of seen the best and worst of Cam Ward. I think Sunday or two Sundays ago against the Seattle Seahawks, we probably saw the best Cam Ward game in two-tone blue we've seen.
Right.
Then last week against the Jags, we probably see the worst. How do you find a happy medium between those two games and just go out on the field and deliver?
But see, let's first start with the Seattle game. What was the difference in the Seattle game? The difference was that he was more decisive. If he took a three-step drop and nothing was there, he would take off and use his feet. So he was doing better in that aspect. But then you get in the Jaguars game, and I don't know if it's because of the offensive line, that he couldn't even go through his reads, and he just was throwing the ball off key, and guys were open, but he just wasn't making plays. So you have a guy that's decisive one game and not decisive the next game. The medium is you got to be a consistent player, because if you look at some of the great quarterbacks in the league that are playing well, like Drake May, he may not have the big numbers, but he's consistent each and every week, and that's what you want from your young rookie quarterback. I mean, there's some plays in there to where he throws the ball, you'd be like, man. But then on the next three plays, he's throwing the ball to way in the stands when a guy is open. So he just got to be consistent.
Let's focus on this game coming up next. I'll flip it over to the other side of the ball for the Browns, at least. They have maybe the most dynamic player on defense in the entire league in Myles Garrett, a guy that is just four and a half sacks away from breaking the NFL record in sacks. If you're J.C. Latham, and knowing the season that you've had this year, and the guy that you're probably going to have to start blocking this week, what do you do? How do you build upon such a bad season and finally deliver?
Listen, you better have what you're going to have to do is you're going to have another tight end over there to help Jason Latham. Because, listen, I don't care how good an offensive tackle you are. When you got Myles Garrett that has 19 sacks already, he's a monster. He's wrecking shop. And he's one of those football players that you feel on the field. When I say feel on the field, he's always impacting every play. If it's a pass, it's a run, whatever it is, he's consistently there. So Jason Latham, he better have good technique. He better keep his head on the swivel. And then also, if I'm Bo Hardigree, the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans, I'm going to make sure I have a tight end out there, go 12 personnel, and make sure there's a tight end to make sure he can block Myles Garrett.
And sticking on the offensive side of the ball there, Chris, you know, you look at this Titans run game, it's been lackluster in some aspects. But, you know, you look at a guy they draft this past year in Khalil Mullins. Should they start utilizing him in the run game a little bit? I mean, he's got fresh legs, definitely a stocky guy. But, I mean, what do you do at that point? Do you attack it in that aspect, or do you still go back to the Tony Pollard-Tajay Spears combo?
Yeah, but see, here's the thing with Pollard and Spears. It's not that they're doing bad. It's being second and 15, third and 25. When you have situations like that, you can't really run the football. Because if you look at last week, look at the first drive of the Tennessee Titans. You had Pollard that ran off one for 17 and 15 and 13. But then in the second half, he has 4 yards. What's the reason behind that? Is because when you have a situation to where you try to pass it on first down, but then you're second and 15 or you have a penalty and it's second and 25, you can't run the ball. So I just think that they should stay with it, run the ball early, and stay out of third and second and long. That's how you know, get the running game going.
And then when it comes to the conservative play calling from Mike McCoy, what has to change there? Is it just solely McCoy's decision, or just Cam has to get through to him saying, we just got to do this?
Yeah, I mean, you have to do it, because if you look at the times, sometimes they're just really predictable. And the reason why they're predictable, we run on first down, then we throw on second, but then you try to change it up. And how can you change it up if you're second and 20, second and 15, because you had three false starts on one drive? So, you know, I just think that with Bo Hardigree, he's got to get a feel of what he wants to do. I mean, do some play action, do some naked boots, do some, you know, throw the ball downfield and just kind of loosen up the defense. But when you're second and 15 and third and 15, there's only so many things that you can do. So I just think they need to improve in that area.
Chris Sanders is with us. Last one for you, Chris. We call you forever Titans wide receiver, but you're also a forever Buckeye wide receiver. The Buckeyes in action tomorrow night against the Indiana Hoosiers for the Big Ten championship. What is the vibe going into
this? Come on, man. We about to beat the brakes off these dudes. Indiana Hoosiers. Whoever thought the Hoosiers would win a Big Ten champ? Listen, I love the coach. I love what they're doing. They're playing with a lot of confidence. But do they understand that they're about to run into a buzzsaw? You got two big-time wide receivers. You got Jeremiah. You got, you know, Tate. And then you got a monster defense with, I think his last name is Reese. And then you got, you know, some other defensive backs. These guys are physical. It's going to be a long day for Indiana Hoosiers, because why? They got the best band in the land, but also they got the best wide receivers in the land. Also, they got the best logo in the land. Let's go, Bucks.
He's Chris Sanders, forever Titans and Buckeyes wide receiver, joining Chase and Big Joe today. Chris, appreciate the time,
man,
as always.
Appreciate you, buddy. You have a good day.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye. You too. Chris Sanders joining the program. He's presented by Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll step aside, come back, react to what Uncle Chris had to say on the other side. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Brandon Bigsby here with you on Chase and Big Joe on 102.5 The Game. A member of the White Girl Friday Mount Rushmore, Miss Tate McRae, everyone. This is a very explicit song. Well, not explicit, but it's just, it's charged. We'll say. Welcome back in, Chase and Big Joe, on this Friday. Chase and Big Joe out today. They're in Rayon City making crayons. So I hope they bring us back some goodies. This holiday season, 102.5 The Game is looking out for the kiddos. We want to donate a bunch of stuffed toys to the Nashville Children's Alliance to be given to kids this holiday, but we cannot do it without you. Join us at a Dunkin' location near your neighborhood this week, or the week of December 8th through the 12th, to drop off a stuffed toy that a child will love. Find the Dunkin' locations that are participating at thegamenashville.com/toy. We also want to thank the Metro Nashville Police Department, the Catalano Group, the Bluemont Group, Family Leisure, Thompson Machinery, Richmar Florist, Right Time HVAC, and Real Dine. So we appreciate that. That is truly a good cause. Want to give back to the kiddos that want to have a good Christmas. So
Make it a holiday they remember.
We need your help doing that. It is certainly for a good cause. Some interesting stuff there from Chris Sanders. He seems cautiously optimistic that Cam Ward is going to have a better day than he had last week against the Jags, and I'm kind of with him. I don't think it can get much worse. But he needs help from the receivers. He obviously doesn't have those. let's see, Alec Iomanner, as I mentioned, is trailing off. He hasn't had nearly as impactful a season as we thought he would at the start. Jim DK is emerging, but like I said, I don't think he is the number one receiver, and on this team, he is right now. So you need help from your receivers. You need help from Chigakonkwo, or tight end, who has kind of had a prove-it year this year, quietly. I think he's been effective when called upon. I think he's going to find himself back on this roster next year. But you need help from all fronts on the offense. The run game, which has been pretty awful this year, needs to pitch in. It's going to be a battle, especially to contain Myles Garrett. So I would not pick the Titans to win this game. That said, the Browns are not very good either. It's going to be a rock fight, and first one to 3 points wins. So we'll see.
It could be that, honestly. I mean, looking at the comparisons, like I could see the Browns just getting one or two big plays that'll really change the momentum of this game on Sunday. Whereas for the Titans, and talking about how Cam working developed to be a better quarterback, just get the ball out quick. You know, obviously your offensive line is not helping you that much. You got Myles Garrett coming at you full guns a-blazing. Might as well just get
it
out.
He may get 10 sacks.
Yeah, he just might. Might as well get it out quick. I know they've been using Chim Dike a lot in those little quick little passing scenarios type thing, but, you know, just incorporate something different, maybe a few jet sweeps or something over the – I wouldn't say over the middle, that kind of gets your players hurt, but you just got to find those little pockets of space where you can just – needle a ball through type thing. And that's something that we need to see out of Cam Ward going forward.
Can I give you something super off topic but
Please.
Still perfect?
Yes.
They announced the College Game Day pick guest picker for Saturday. They're in Atlanta for Georgia-Alabama. Ernie Johnson of
really?
Inside the NBA. He's a Georgia alum.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I knew, he's originally from Atlanta, is that right?
Believe so.
Because he lives in Atlanta.
Three of the four hosts on that show are SDC guys.
Okay.
He's Georgia. Shaq's obviously LSU. Charles Barkley is Auburn. And then Kenny Smith played at North Carolina. So,
right. He's from Milwaukee originally, so my bad. I thought he lived in Atlanta through the TNT, you know, inside the NBA.
He probably does now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Turner is based in Atlanta. You pass it every time you go through the Big A, so...
The wide highways and all the above. That's interesting. Hey, good for Ernie. I love that.
Ernie Johnson. I love Ernie Johnson. You notice we're just fishing for things to keep us away from talking about the Titans?
Look, this Titans team is anemic. I just don't like talking about them whatsoever. But, I mean, look, this is a team to where they can get their second win of the season, to me.
Like I agree.
I think this is a game where if you can get the ball out quickly, like I was just describing – maybe get it to guys like Chigakonkwo who are in a prove-it type scenario. And, again, you made the question earlier, and you posed the question, that is this a type of game where Chigakonkwo needs to prove it so he can earn a contract for next year? I think the Titans will sign him back because, and you even alluded to that as well, but they have to sign him back because of the depth. They just don't have the depth right now.
They may not even sign him. They may tag him.
That is true.
Because who else on this roster is worth tagging?
Not a lot of people.
There's not a lot. So I full-heartedly believe he'll be back on the roster next year. But you're right. He's got to be effective in this one. I think anyone catching the ball for the Titans needs to be effective in this one to get a win. But I agree. I think this is a winnable game for the Titans. Winnable doesn't mean they will win.
Right.
And I would, you know, bank against them winning.
There's something we have not brought up at all this whole first hour. On the defensive side of the ball for the Titans, Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
Like, let's not forget that, sure, everybody wants to, you know, compare Shador Sanders to Cam Ward. Well, everybody, and I'll include myself in this, we're all enamored by Myles Garrett on the outside of that edge rush for the Browns. What about Jeffrey Simmons?
That's a good point.
This guy is clogging up the middle. He is destroying every offensive lineman in the area. I mean, if you go up against a rookie quarterback and Shador Sanders, I'm sure that Shador is going to be flustered in some aspects because that is a grown man coming at you who just got nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, which is impressive for the Titans, that is.
Yeah.
You have to watch out for a guy like Jeffrey Simmons who can just destroy you at any time.
It's a good point. Yeah. And look, I don't think the Browns' offensive line is that much more effective than the Titans, so it's a good point. Jake kind of alluded to it in his show, so I'll kind of echo it. I think Shedeur Sanders is going to make at least one fatal mistake. Maybe not that knocks him completely out of the game because the Titans are really bad at capitalizing at said mistakes.
Right.
But I think Shedeur Sanders is going to do a rookie quarterback thing, whether that's a strip sack or a brutal interception or he just takes a sack that you absolutely cannot take. I think he's going to make a couple of those. So I think Jeffrey Simmons is capable of getting Shedeur Sanders. It's going to be interesting to see how he plays because he is quite literally the only Titans defensive player worth anything, in my opinion. So it should be – you make a great point there, Nick, that I think Jeffrey Simmons is going to be a factor in this one.
Yeah, and, you know, we also talked a little bit about how Myles Garrett's going to possibly destroy J.C. Latham if they are lined up against each other. Let's also not forget about the center position, Lloyd Cushenberry. You know, we brought it up a few weeks ago how, you know, he has a foot injury currently, did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. It makes you wonder if he can kind of get over whatever he's got right now, because he did say there were some other things outside of football that were bothering him a few weeks back when he was at his little Monday press conference. Obviously, now he is physically not able to play right now. I mean, he's not on the pup list, but I'm just saying that he's not practicing Wednesday or Thursday. It makes you wonder, is there something lingering for this offensive line? Because when you don't have your technician at the center position, like how can you grow off that if you're a young lineman in J.C. Latham? I mean, sure, you're going through your techniques. That's about it. You have your kick step, all that. But when you don't have your core captain at the center position, it hurts you a little bit. So maybe that's a little bit of a factor when it comes for a guy like J.C. Latham, but that's something to keep in mind.
Justin in Greenbrier says, y'all could talk about knitting and it would be more exciting than this Titans team. At least the Preds have turned things around to date. You could talk about them instead. Look, we're struggling. I mean, I didn't want to go cold turkey and just not put Titans in this show whatsoever.
We know everybody loves listening.
Plus, we had Chris coming on, so I was like, let's just get it out of the way, then we can talk about college football the rest of the time, which everyone clearly wants to hear more about.
Mm-hmm.
The Preds, to his point, big win last night. Overtime win over the Florida Panthers. Back-to-back defending cup champion Florida Panthers in overtime. Steven Stamkos with a beauty to the net with under a minute to play. So that was fun. Preds have turned it around somewhat. I think I'm going to die on this hill. I think if they pick things up, they're capable of making the playoffs. The problem is they haven't consistently proven that they can do that. So
right. I mean, right now they're only 5 points out of a wild card spot. Utah holds that second spot.
It's still
Chicago.
Relatively early. I mean, we're a fourth of the way through the season about, but it's still early. There's still a lot of time. So
look, they get another win. They can, and if St. Louis ends up losing, they can leapfrog them. I mean, this is what I think we're all starting to see what Barry Trotz was talking about. Just
yeah.
Kind of really, he even said it on a DVD when they had their game against Calgary here, versus Calgary. He stuck to his guns. He said, this is a good core that we're building. He talked about locker room culture and how, you know, that was BS, whatever it was, whoever put that report out there. But this is a Preds team that, again, when they're healthy, clicking on all cylinders, they compete with the best of the best. Like, I was talking to somebody, I think it was last night or the night before, looking at how the Preds and the Calgary Flames were at the bottom of the barrel of the standings, and you go and see the Preds put up 5 goals against them, there is a complete difference in a last-place team to a real last-place team.
Mm.
And to me, the Preds are not that. They just have to start clicking. It's simple as that.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to, you know, intricate what is going wrong with the Predators on some nights, and sometimes it's kind of inexplainable for us. So, but big win for them last night. They took out the back-to-back defending cup champions in the Florida Panthers. 2-1.
1-4 the last five.
Yes, they have. And they will be in action tomorrow night in Tobacco Road over in Raleigh, North Carolina, to take on the Carolina Hurricanes. That one, of course, will be carried right here on these airwaves. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week is the Bengals versus the Bills at noon on 102.5 The Game. NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Massaro in 12 South. Fun first hour here on the program. Coming up next, we'll get into the college football conversation and be joined by our man Trey Wallace of Outkick to talk a little bit of the college football headlines. Coming up next, right here on Chasing Big Joe on 102.5 The Game.